You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the final preseason edition of Locked On Jaguars. That is, final preseason edition before the game. We'll have another post-game edition tomorrow. However, it is time for these cutdowns to happen. And if you're a Jaguar fan and you're wondering where those cutdowns may occur, well, let me give you a couple of quick positions to watch out for in this final preseason game versus the Atlanta Falcons. The first one and the most important one is the wide receiver position. It's a battle between young guys and veterans. C.J. Board, Trey McBride have made a significant run at this position, and it might come at the expense of Terrell Pryor. We'll just have to wait and see. Who's the lineman that surprisingly let go or traded? Is it Elianku, Dayton Jones, or DeJuan Smoot? Well, time will tell. I doubt if we see most of those guys tonight, but we'll see a lot of other people in action. Stay tuned for the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars on a Thursday night edition of NFL Football. Well, it's the last preseason edition of Locked On Jaguars, at least pregame preseason edition. The Atlanta Falcons make their way to TIAA Bank Field to play the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth and final preseason game. Don't expect to see many of the Jaguars starters. In fact, I doubt if you're going to see any of them at all. They have been very, very cautious and careful not to get guys injured, and they're heading into the preseason in a really, really healthy form. So we don't expect to see many, many Jaguars tonight that we know will be making the team. However, it's always interesting to see those guys and who the team actually puts out on the football field to have a longer look. And that tells you something. That either tells you that those are the position battles for the back end of the roster, or they're letting guys put out good tape for other teams. Thinking right offhand, this is going to be a very, very good exercise and a very, very good game for Gardner Minshew to show and prove that he can be a substantial upgrade at backup from last year with Cody Kessler, that he can be a guy that on a team that is expected to contend for a playoff spot, that if he's needed in a pinch, he can step in and play quarterback for a long period of time for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's very, very important that we watch number 15 tonight, and let's see how he's able to command this offense. I want to see if Gardner Minshew can actually come out in this game and establish himself early and get some early points in the first quarter for this team. We've talked about this team being the sort of team that if they get out front, it's going to be very, very difficult for teams to catch them, because those teams will then have to play into the strength of this Jaguars defense, which is their pass rush and their defensive backs. The Jaguars will be, if they're ahead, they're going to be allowed to dictate a lot of things to a lot of teams, and that's going to make it very, very difficult for other people to come back. Another thing to watch, do they put Will Richardson out or do they put A.J. Cann out at right guard? I think if you see A.J. Cann early, that means Will Richardson has probably won the starting job at right guard. This is about, to me, this is the biggest turnaround of the offseason. And I was ready to write that kid off. You know, it was a fourth-round pick last year out of NC State. To me, it's the biggest turnaround of the preseason, because he really, really has done a lot of things that in the media you don't see and as a fan you don't see. But the coaches noticed it. And the coaches noticed his different in attitude and his dedication to work ethic. He's even gotten a little bit bigger. His body's changed some, and he's gotten a lot stronger. And he's pretty much strong-armed that position, if you ask me, in my opinion, away from A.J. Cann, who signed a three-year, $15 million contract in the offseason to be the right guard for this football team. So that's a bit of a key. I think if you don't see the rookie Juwan Taylor, that means that he's the starting right tackle. And they're going to go with Juwan Taylor, Will Richardson, Brandon Linder at center, obviously Kevin Norwell at left guard, and Cam Robinson at left tackle. I don't expect to see anybody from the center all the way over through the left side of the line. It'll be interesting to me also to see if they play Jeff Schwamm a little bit since he came back to practice, to see if he can go ahead and be the starting tight end when the season opens. I think he was the most impressive one before his injury. So the Jaguars have pretty much cemented all of their starting positions for this game or for the season opener in about 10 days. Defensively, I wouldn't play Josh Allen tonight. I think he showed enough in the preseason game three to not warrant being put back on the field. I also believe that about seven of those defensive tackle positions are settled. Do you see Daytone Jones? Do you see DeJuan Smoot? If you don't see either one of them, that means they're obviously already on the team. They play really, really well. What about nose tackle? Dontarius Russell, does he take that backup position from Eli Ankle? That's a critical question that has to be answered on this team. You won't see any Quincy Williams, in my opinion. You won't see either one of the starters at corner. I hope you don't see any of the starters at safety. That means we'll see who the backups are. But the matchup I'll watch tonight will be the wide receiver position, whether C.J. Board or Trey McBride is able to take a step forward and take that spot. So we won't bury the lead. We'll get back to more in just a second. This is Locked On Jaguars, pregame Atlanta Falcons edition.
It's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie is live in-game betting on every NFL game. They got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Now, we have a special offer up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, Atlanta Falcons pregame edition, fourth preseason game. I know those are words that are dancing in the ears of people. I wonder if they're dancing in the ears of my co-host, Phillip Prudes. Phil, what is up, bro?
I'm excited for the game.
I know you are. I know you are. Somebody told me they're buying season tickets, too.
So. I am.
Today. Yeah, man. It's happening. Yeah, man. It's a great, great, great feeling for the fans around here. Some of the things I touched on in that first segment in those 5 minutes. Is there a particular position or something that you're looking forward to seeing or what you're looking? I also talked about some things that we're looking forward to not seeing. Like if I don't see this guy, that means he's done and they already know what it is. Some things you're interested in seeing tonight or not seeing from this team?
Yeah, I think the battle between Trey McBride and C.J. Board, I kind of think of, remember the scene from The Dark Knight where the Joker breaks the pool stick in half and says, this is your job interview, and gives each guy the pool stick and they have to kill each other and figure it out. That's what I feel like is going to be tonight between Trey McBride and C.J. Board.
That's a great analogy. I'm sorry that I interrupted you in mid-sentence, but you know, in radio, we can do that. That's a great analogy. I'm going to steal that. I am going to. What movie is that? The Dark Knight?
With Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah. I'm going to steal that. So, yeah, go ahead, but keep making your point. I'm sorry.
No problem. That's just the. When you were talking about it earlier in that first segment, that's the image that popped into my mind between those two guys. And I really think it comes down to this game for a position battle like that between those two guys, and whoever can really take it today, we'll get it. So excited to see that. Excited to see if, because there's a couple spots, Wig, that are going to come from other rosters, right? People forget that. So I think like that fourth tight end job, will Thomas Rawls do enough to keep his job? Or are they going to try to replace him you know, on the waiver wire with final cuts, because there's going to be a lot of good running backs available. Does Alex?
I would look for a nifty version.
Sure.
To go along with those other guys, those bruisers that they have. I would look for a nifty version of a running back out there to try to bring somebody in that can run more between the tackles than Corey Grant. But, you know, you don't have to change the game plan, but still give you a little bit of an extra pop and something different.
Without a doubt. And with that shiftiness, you would hope that they could do some special team stuff, like return stuff, just in case a guy like Keelan Cole gets hurt. Or if DJ Chark takes a step up and, you know, starts really contributing on the offense, you don't want him to do what he did last week again and just start running and for some reason just stop right in his tracks and get popped and get a concussion. And
you know, I didn't want to pile up on him. One, I don't like 6'4" kick returners. I just don't. Two, when, and I'm, you know, they know more than me. I just think when you stick him back there, you're saying, dude, you got to be able to contribute some type of way to this team. I don't think you do that because you think he's one of the best. Because when we were watching, I know when I was watching the drills during training camp, he's fast. But he sort of throws his legs out. He kind of swivels his hips when he runs, and it's not like a natural track type deal that you need. Those guys that really, really know how to do kick returns, they put one foot in front of the other, and it's no wasted movement. And I just think when you have a guy that's 6'4" doing that kind of stuff, I mean, just go throughout history. When have you seen too many 6'4" kick returners? Almost never. They're almost usually either short, quick scat backs or D'Angelo Hall types, small wide receivers. You rarely ever see that. Now, Randy Moss will go back there every now and then, you know, but that's different. I'm just talking about throughout history, you just don't see guys built like him returning kicks.
Yeah, without and you could just see it when a guy like Michael Walker does it, right?
It's different.
Smaller guy, he's like a minnow, just going in and out, you know, with all of that. So I've talked about it before. It's a big year for DJ Chark because right now, to me, he's nothing more than a souped-up Kasim Osgood that you spent a second-round pick on.
Right.
You know, with that, all that special teams gunner ability and everything, you know, the way that they're using him, because for whatever reason, as great as he looks in practice and he'll bring down these spectacular catches here and there, he just can't do it under the lights right now. So he needs to...
So you know what a second-round wide receiver looks like? And I know people will say, well, Marquise Lee's been injured. When a team takes a guy in the second round, and Jaguar fans are going to cringe when I say this, they want to see Allen Robinson by year two. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to see. You want to see Davante Adams by year two.
And it was the top of the second round pick.
Right, and people keep forgetting. And in the phone call interview that was televised.
First round grade.
Tom Coughlin said we had a first round grade on it. So, okay, so, you know, while they've done a really good job of getting the Josh Allens and the Yannick Ngakoues of the world, we have to understand, too, how much further would they be had they hit on Taven Bryan and had they hit on DJ Chark? How much further along would they be as an organization if those guys were playing better? You know?
Yep.
So that, and I know it's being greedy, but, you know, the guys that you pick early are supposed to be easier to hit on. That's kind of one of those things where that's a normal deal to think that, okay, you're supposed to look at Yannick Ngakoue the way Seattle looked at Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman. Like, oh, we hit the mother load. Okay, we got Earl Thomas early, but we hit the mother load when we hit. That's how you win it. You get Earl Thomas early, and then you draft Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor late, and you go, oh, my God, what do we have? And you get Bobby Wagner in the second round. That's when you start seeing championship runs over and over and over again. When you hit those guys, not only do you hit the lottery late, but you actually hit it early too. So when people think that when I talk this way, I'm being greedy, I am being greedy, because greedy gets you titles. That's how you get over the hump and stop being the team that people think is going to go 8-8, 9-9, 9-7, 10-6, and have to get other people injured in your conference. The way you get to that motherland and the way you sit there and stay there is you hit on the obvious ones. And then you hit on the not-so-obvious ones. And the Jaguars, they've hit on Jalen Ramsey. They've hit on now, it looks like, Josh Allen. Now you got to get those second and third and fourth round. You got to hit on them too.
Yeah, without a doubt. I never understood why they really disclosed that information in the press conference. You know, how high they had the guy. Because there's not much benefit that comes out of that for them.
No, most teams don't. But Coughlin has done something else. You know the year he took Fournette? And this is the thing that we keep going back to. There was no mention of Mahomes. And there was no mention of Watson. Tom Coughlin said they picked fourth. And they had four players on their radar. Solomon Thomas. Yuck.
Dodged the bullet.
Right. Solomon Thomas. Leonard Fournette. Jamal Adams. And Marshawn Lattimore. Now, people think the Marshawn Lattimore thing doesn't make sense because they had just signed A.J. Boye to a contract extension. And they had, you know what they were going to do with Marshawn Lattimore if he'd have fell to him? Nickel. If Marshawn Lattimore would have fought him, he would have been in the slot. He would have taken Aaron Colvin's job. And that's what he would have done. That's exactly. So those would be your three corners. You basically have two all pros. And then, oh, by the way, A.J. Boye would be the other guy. So. But they were taking, they really, really love Jamal Adams. They really, who went sixth to the Jets. So you don't take Fournette. Keep telling people they weren't taking Watson anyway. You don't take Fournette. They weren't taking Mahomes. You weren't taking Fournette. You're going to get a defensive back. You're going to get a safety who, an all-pro level safety, who would have been sitting right there, right now, where Ronnie Harrison is.
Yeah, can you imagine Jamal Adams with Ronnie Harrison right now in this defense?
No, I can't. It would be totally ridiculous. Look, third segment, my man Demetrius, who's on the ground, he'll be doing a lot this year on the show, even be having a microphone in his face this year. He talked to Will Richardson, who we mentioned in the first segment. So we're going to make sure we get to that. And touch up a little bit more on what we think we might see tonight against the Atlanta Falcons in the fourth preseason game. For T. Wiganfield, this is Locked On Jaguars. The Atlanta Falcons make their way to TIAA Bank Field to play the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth preseason game. We mentioned that there are not going to be very many Jaguars out there. There are not going to be many Falcons out there, I assume. I tell you what, though, I've been saying this for a while. One of the things that I really, really want to see one day, I want to see Julio Jones and Jalen Ramsey one-on-one all day. I actually think Julio Jones is the most talented wide receiver in the league. A lot of people right now saying that DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the league. I can't argue with that. I mean, D-Hop is D-Hop. But when you look at Julio Jones, he has about 2 inches on D-Hop and about 20 pounds, and he runs a little bit faster. I think Julio may be the most difficult guy for anybody to deal with, and I think that would be a matchup with him and Jalen. Look, I'm old enough to remember watching Deion Sanders in his prime versus Jerry Rice. I saw Deion Sanders versus Michael Irvin. And I saw Darryl Green versus Michael Irvin. I saw these first ballot haulers. I saw Rod Woodson versus all of those guys I just mentioned. So, you know, man, it was a lot of fun to watch that kind of stuff. And it'd be a lot of fun to watch it today in today's rules. It'd be very, very interesting to watch that type of stuff. But unfortunately, we won't see a lot of that tonight, Phil. But we will see an Atlanta team that is expected to have one of the most explosive offenses in the National Football League.
You'll get to see your guy, Tay Hayes.
I will get to see my man, Tay Hayes. That's right.
He's graded out as one of the best rookies in the NFL on PFF through 3 weeks.
Yeah, you think – what's your prognosis for a guy like Tay in terms of –
I think they would love for him to be basically the guy that got away. We had a guy here, Mike Hilton, who's now the nickel cornerback in Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a smaller guy, about 5'8 and three quarters, 5'9". And we had him in camp here, and he ended up – getting cut, and then went to Pittsburgh, and he's been the starting nickel cornerback and a very good one there. I think their ideal situation with Tay Hayes is they would like to stash him on the practice squad for this 1 year while DJ Hayden has one realistic year left in his contract. He has 2 years left, but they're probably going to cut him, you know, just for cap savings after this year because it balloons up after the season. And they could save a lot of money doing that. But if they can have a natural replacement in Tay Hayes in that nickel spot, that's great. And The nickel corner doesn't have to be 6'2" prototype like Jalen Ramsey. As long as they can stay with those shifty slot receivers, those Julian Edelmans, and play with a lot of physicality and that bulldog mentality, that's all you need. And I think he has the perfect traits to kind of step into that role in the future, save them a lot of money.
And then the other thing about those nickel guys, if they display a lot of intangibles and smarts, they can go to teams that actually use a nickel but just play a lot of zone and not a lot of man-to-man. You know, some of these
just
really,
like
really
yep.
like Pittsburgh, some of these teams that are expected to contend that don't really sit their guys in a lot of man-to-man, that just want guys who know how to play short area. A guy like Tavon Young, who knows really how to get in and out and play in his area. The key to those guys, though, is this. You got to be able to tackle. Because 9 times out of 10, if you're playing in that, you're going to have to tackle somebody because somebody's going to sit down in something. And what I mean by let me act like I'm talking to people that don't understand football. When you play a zone, you're not really as close to the guys always, so a guy goes to a spot. Usually when he goes to a spot, he's able to catch the ball, and they depend on him to sit down in the middle of a zone, the middle between two people, and make one person miss and get yards after the catch. That's one of those things, those slot receivers. People talk about if D.D. Westbrook is at his best. If D.D. Westbrook is at his best, what D.D. Westbrook is going to do is catch a ball 5 yards from Nick Foles to get the ball out quick. And he's going to pop out. He's going to make somebody miss. And then he's going to be able to get an extra 6 yards and get a first down or move the ball down the field. You sit down in the zone. And if Jacksonville fans remember when the Jaguars played out at San Francisco in 2017, Keelan Cole, he thought he was supposed to keep running. I think he did the right thing by stopping and sitting down because Blake didn't throw the ball early enough, and Keelan appeared to be on a shallow cross that he was going to – he ran away from one linebacker, and it appears that Blake was throwing him right into another one. So Keelan decided he was going to stop and sit down in the middle of the zone, but Blake threw the ball out in front of him, and it got picked. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. You want to get a guy who can sit down in the middle, take it, turn around, and get upfield really, really fast. So – that's why a guy like Tay Hayes, if he can tackle in open space, he can be a slot receiver for a team that's already really good. Now, we talked about another young player who has actually found a little niche, and he's been the epitome, Phil, of what they call player Lewis Riddick always talks about, a player development. The Jaguars have done a really, really good job with player development with Real Richardson. They've gotten the worst. They banished that out of his system and gotten the best out of him, and now he's living his best life. As the potential starting right guard for this football team. And my man Demetrius is always on the ground. He's always at the stadium. And he caught up with Will Richardson of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
With the 129th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Will Richardson, tackle, North Carolina State.
So William of Richardson.
Last year you kind of had to sit out a few games. You know, you were coming off a knee injury and then a little bit of struggles. What was going through your mind? Like, what was your mental last year? And how did you end up recovering from that?
Just pretty much, you know, like every day when I got back, like every day I just thought about it. You know, like how I couldn't be around the team, like how I couldn't participate, how I couldn't help the team win. You know. And I mean, that's kind of the mindset I took into the offseason. Like, what can I do to make sure that next year that I'm competing and actually helping this team win games, you know? So all offseason, that's all I sat back and thought about, was just what I didn't accomplish. And then it kind of helped me with reaching the things that I'm starting to accomplish this year, you know? So.
And then, so coming into this year, you were able to play multiple positions. You were at tackle, guard, you know, left guard, right guard. What'd you kind of do to get to that point where you're able to play at a high level at all three positions?
I feel like when it came to that, it's just knowing my assignments, knowing the playbook, and knowing my responsibilities. I feel like that's the biggest thing when switching positions, is not only learning the technique of switching sides from left to right, but it's also being going from guard to tackle and knowing your mic points and who you're working to and who you're responsible for on certain blitzes and stuff. So I say the mental aspect is what really has helped me get over the edge and being able to play faster. So,
yeah. So As far as playing guard, what's the most difficult part about that, going from tackle to guard? What's been your struggle at, I guess I would say, from
like
transition?
I told others, like, it hasn't been as bad of a struggle going from tackle to guard as it's been going from right, switching back and forth from right side to left side. Just the biggest thing with that is just body control and technique. It's kind of like, you know, a right-handed pitcher trying to pitch left-handed, you know, until you get used to it, until you get, you know, coordinated on that side of the line. It kind of can be a struggle, but once you get it, I mean, playing football is football, you know, so always technical things to work on, switching sides and switching positions like that, but ultimately you still just playing football.
It's just the same thing over and over.
Exactly.
So last question. So you're going into a battle right now for the right guard position with AJ Ken. How has AJ kind of propelled you and made you a better player now?
Just watching him, he's a real technician. His footwork, everything that he does, you know, AJ, you can tell that he focuses on that, you know. So just over the last year, and so just like when they started putting me at guard, the biggest thing was, my mom always says and coach always says, if you don't know something, ask questions. So I'm a big question guy. If I don't know something or if I'm not understanding something thoroughly, I'm going to ask a question to see exactly what I need to do in order to improve in that area. So I feel like AJ has helped me a lot with just being that veteran, having that veteran mindset. Yes, we're competing, but we're ultimately all here for the biggest goal, and that's playing at the end of the year, you know. So he's been a huge help with just helping me understand and see things technically, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, I appreciate you, bro. You have a good one.
Well, there you have it. Will's a big question guy, but there's one question that he wants to have answered himself, and that's who's going to be that week one starter at right guard. Hopefully, that will be him. So that's all we got for this show today. Everybody, enjoy the game tonight. Side note, it's a lot of fun to listen to all the guys in the background in the locker room having fun. But everybody stay safe out there, and we'll recap the game tomorrow morning. See ya.